Coates, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of World of Prophecy, being heard around the world on 4 mighty transmitting towers of international shortwave and on a number of AM/FM stations throughout the United States. We're so glad you're with us. And tonight we have probably the most important subject matter to discuss that you will ever hear, because it involves something absolutely miraculous and wonderful, and I'm referring to God's Word, the King James Bible. And yet there are other versions out there. Are they polluted? Are they evil? Some say they are. I'm convinced there are horrible problems with the new versions. My good friend Gail Ripplinger has written a 690-page book. She says that the new versions are New Age Bible versions. And then I've been talking recently with my good friend, Dr. Joseph Chambers from Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, I have the utmost respect for Dr. Chambers. For a number of years, I've known him. He's a great man of God. He truly cares about the Word of God. And friends, he is on this program with us today. And he's going to be telling us something so unbelievable about the NIV Bible, the New International Version, something so incredible and yet so true that you've just got to hear it. And I have invited him onto this program to tell you about the NIV, the truth that you're not going to hear from your local Christian bookstore. You're not going to hear from other ministries throughout the United States and the world, but you'll hear it from this man because he has a burning desire to tell God's truth. Dr. Chambers, welcome to World of Prophecy.
Hey, Tex. It's a joy to be with you, my dear friend.
You know,
for such a kind introduction, I don't deserve that.
Well, you deserve more, but I know you're a humble man of God, but you don't toot your own horn, so let me do it for you.
Well, you know, I really believe that the grace of God, the mercy of Jesus Christ is the most incredible truth in all the Bible, that God looks beyond all of our faults and failures, and if we'll come in repentance and turn from our sins, he'll forgive us and he'll cleanse us, and he'll make a nobody into a somebody. Great.
Well, I like that. You know, that is true. We're nothing in and of ourselves. But
you know, the one thing the world has done today is they've elevated flesh to a god. I said to my congregation last night in our Bible study series, I said, the new versions of the Bible and the new religion of our day brings God down and raises man up. It lessens God in his divinity, and it raises man up to a kind of divinity. And it's the most horrible, imaginable thing that right here before Jesus comes, at the very day that the door is, it could open any moment for the rapture. We got the church world that's off in this tangent of the deification of man and the reduction of God. And it doesn't even make sense, but it's the work of the devil.
You know, just looking at us, our mortal bodies, the fact that we get ill frequently, we're subject to bacteria, we're running away from viruses all the time. None of us want to get something as dreadful as AIDS. We have all these limitations. Dr. Chambers,
yes, we do.
How is it that with all of our limitations, we can fool ourselves, deceive ourselves into believing that we are God?
Well, it goes back to the ancient sin in the Garden of Eden when the devil says, does not God know that ye shall be like him? That was a lie, of course. It was the classical lie of all times. Paul said, we are of those who have no confidence in the flesh. The only way a man can keep himself in the grace of God and walk with Jesus is to ever be mindful that he must sanctify himself daily by the Word of God and live dependent on the blood and the Spirit and the Word, that trinity of power, the blood, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. That is the source of our life. It is the answer for everything man has need of.
Now, Dr. Chambers, you have a publication,
yes,
really a newspaper, called The End Times and Victorious Living.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell folks a couple times during this program how they can subscribe to your publication. The End Times of Victorious Living, I get it every month. It's just tremendous. Now, recently you had an issue, and the feature article was about the New Age Bible versions. And really, it ministered to my heart and my soul. And there are some things in here, in a special edition, that you talk about. I wonder if we can discuss them and really take an in-depth look at the new versions versus the King James. Could we do that?
I would be delighted.
All right. Now, on page 5 of the January-February issue of the End Times and Victorious Living, you discuss the source of the modern translations. You tell us there in an article you discuss really Westcott and Hart. Tell us who were Westcott and Hart. What are the differences? Or the major difference, meaning the source of the King James and some of the newer translations.
Well, what really happened was Westcott and Hart. They were men. They were very much involved in a kind of early day New Age movement. Their ideas were totally heretic. I'm sorry, I can't say the word here today. But they taught ideas that were totally foreign to the Holy Scripture. Westcott and Hort put together what was a new Greek Bible, a new Greek source that has been used now by almost all seminaries and many so-called Bible scholars as the source for their understanding of the Scripture, totally different from the Textus Receptus that you and I depend upon from whence the King James came. These two men introduced a Greek text that has been the source of much and almost all of the problem ever since. And what those men believed and what they taught was horrible. It was absurd. For instance, Westcott of the Divinity of Man says the revelation of the divine in man, realized in and through Christ, man is divine. Every type of essential human excellence coexists in Christ. Humanity has been raised in the Son of Man to the right hand of God. I mean, those kind of things, it's the same thing that Hagen and Copeland and Price and Benny Hinn, same thing those men are saying. But here it is in the Greek that is being used in almost every seminary in the church world today. And no wonder we're getting liberal preachers that don't know the truth of God's Word.
So, in effect, these two men, back in the 1800s, the latter part of the 1800s.
They printed that book in 1881. That's when it came out on the market.
A new Greek text, which they claimed was superior to the Textus Receptus, which is the manuscript by which King James was able to put godly men together, scholars, and give us the King James Version. So they presumed that they would give mankind something better, their own Greek text, and from this, you're saying, has been produced the newer Bible version.
Exactly. You know, the first, the American Standard Version was produced in 1901. Philip Schaff was involved in that. Then, of course, the new American Standard Version is a new one today being used, and it's nothing but a repeat of the one in 1901. But here's what they've done. They went back to two or three ancient Alexandrian manuscripts that had been produced in Alexandria, Egypt. The men who produced them, Origen and Clement and some others, were themselves heretics. They denied the divinity of Jesus Christ as we understand it and know it. So that these manuscripts are the source of this new Greek text, basically. There are some other variations, but they're the main sources. And those manuscripts are absolutely spurious and unacceptable. And, of course, they all are in the care of the Vatican. The Vatican in Rome owns these manuscripts and controls them. Scholars haven't even seen the originals. All they see is copies of these originals. And to believe and to trust our Bible to the Vatican of Rome, is ludicrous to begin with. And to deny. Now, another thing, Tex, that's so amazing, 90-some percent of all the manuscripts, and there's 8,000 and some pieces and portions of manuscripts and ancient writings that are biblical in nature and context, 8,000 and something. The King James Bible and the Textus Receptus Greek agree with over 90% of all of those perfectly, and less than 1% support the Westcott and Hort version and all the new versions that have come out, taken off of the Westcott and Hort. 1% of all the ancient manuscripts support those, but over 90% support the King James and the Textus Receptus. That in itself puts the Textus Receptus Greek, which is the background of the King James, and of course at one time it was called the Byzantine, it was called the Received, there's several names it's had, but we call it now the Textus Receptus. Well, it's amazing. Here's all this support for the King James, 90-some percent of all ancient manuscripts and writings. One man, Dr. Bergen, who died in 1888, he was a contemporary of Westcott and Hort. He did 30 years of study in which he documented 86,000 supportive scripts to support the King James Version and the Received Text, the Byzantine Text, or the Textus Receptus, whichever you want to call it. 86,000 supports of the original text that he wrote and produced in 30 years of research. And he was a scholar, the Dean of Chichester, the Church of England, back in a day when it was certainly had many good conservative Bible believers. And excuse me for going on so long here.
But no, you have listen,
great
you're
support
us.
For the Textus Receptus and the King James text.
What is so incredible about this is that right in the midst of some great men of God in Great Britain during this time, rose up some satanic-led men, such as Westcott and Hort, that we know now. I was talking recently to a supposed scholar who really is not a big fan of the King James. And he said, yes, I admit that Westcott and Hort were occultists. I admit that they may have been on a campaign to put in New Age doctrines. But, of course, he says their text was not polluted. He said, you can't prove to me, Tex Mars, he said, that just because a person is an occultist, they would purposely poison the Greek text of the Bible.
How in the world could he say that?
Well, how about that? In other words,
how can the Holy Ghost use it, a vehicle of New Age occultic background and involvement to communicate the perfect Word of God?
Well, I think you're making a very good point, because God is not going to choose, is he, a vessel of dishonor, a people without character who are infilled with possibly demon spirits, certainly led by Satan. Why would God entrust them with the translation of his holy manuscript, his word? I mean, this is preposterous, isn't it? I mean, for example, we could just as well say that we could go ahead and have the gospel according to Judas, and it could be worthwhile. I mean, maybe Judas wrote the truth, even if he was filled of Satan. Does that make any sense?
Well, it doesn't make any sense. And Westcott and Hort, and of course, there are many others, really, the men who put together the New International Version, it boggles my mind to read what these men say about the Word of God. Hmm. They don't believe it's the infallible Word of God. Well, now, I have a book in front of me called the NIV, The Making of a Contemporary Translation. This was edited by Kenneth L. Barker, and it is their official book now to give their story of how the NIV Bible was written. Well, here's a chapter. Why Hebrew Sheol was translated grave. Why Hebrew Sheol was translated grave. And in this chapter, begins on page 58, it was written by R. Larry Harris, they say that the Bible clearly does not suggest that hell is a place of eternal judgment. That hell is not a place of eternal judgment. I could read you a number of references, but for the sake of time, let me read one. It says, in his second speech, he still preferred death. He declared that the one who goes down to Sheol returns no more. And in this context, said he would soon lay down in the dust and be no more. To go to Sheol, now that's the word for hell in the Greek, to go to Sheol is to lay in the dust and never return. The passage teaches us that similar references to Sheol, again hail, if elsewhere, also means no more, and notice that, no more than the darkness, dissolution, and dust of the tomb. They deny that hell is a place of eternal judgment.
Wow, well, that's very strange, since I read in Revelation that this is a place of fire and brimstone, and the torment of those who have rejected Christ and taken the mark of the beast will be forever and ever. And that's a direct quote of God, forever and ever. But they're saying, oh, no, it's not forever at all.
Well, you know what they do with, for instance, the story of the lake of fire in Revelation is amazing. I have NIV in front of me. Let me read you what they do to the lake of fire. They say, and this is Revelation 20 and 14. Says, then death and Hades, they changed the word hell to Hades. And Hades makes no reference of fire, it's just a place of the dead. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. Now notice this, the lake of fire is the second death. Now the King James says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death. But here they changed the word hell to Hades and changed the fact that the death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. They say the lake of fire is the second death. So they put the lake of fire only as a place where men will be dissolved and cease to exist. So they completely distort this last passage in the book of Revelation as it relates to the place called eternal hellfire.
Well, that's very convenient for the devil to convince men that there's no hell, right?
I mean, the devil is hunting up and down.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Every time a person buys the NIV, the copyrighted version of the Bible, I might add, the publisher, of course, copyrights it. And every time you even quote the NIV Bible in a book, you're supposed to give credit to the publisher and get permission if you use too much of it and all that stuff, and I suppose make a payment. That would tell you something right there, wouldn't it, that all of the new versions are copyrighted. And, of course, the King James is not. It's a free version by God.
Well, it's all a money-making scheme, and many have said that. One of the great articles that I have got a hold of is a man who was involved in the New American Standard Version, which is a remake of the ancient American Standard Version of Phyllis Schaff. And you remember Phyllis Schaff, who helped put the American Standard Version together, was the man who helped start, the first World Parliament of Religion.
Oh, my.
It was held in 1893, 100 years ago, from the one held this past year in 1993. And he helped start that. And he helped put together the ASB, the American Standard Version Bible, from whence today we get the Living Bible. And the New American Standard Version, using a lot of Southern Baptist churches and different churches. I mean, here you have a man who was a total New Ager, along with Westcott and Hort, who helped start the World Parliament of Religion, in which the Satanists and the Waccas, the witches, and all came together in Chicago last year, and did so also 100 years ago. I mean, all of this just boggles your mind that the church world, I mean, I understand the devil is smart, he's got good people to help him, but why don't the people who claim to be Christians, who are in these churches that preach, they say the gospel of Jesus, why don't they know this? Why don't they see this? And why don't they listen when we tell them, even more important? Because they get mad at me and say, well, listen to me.
Well, you know, Dr. Chambers, I have done much research on the satanic cults. And I've written many books on the New Age and the occult world, including, for example, the book New Age Cults and Religions, a whole encyclopedia of the cults. One of the things that has intrigued me, quite honestly, is the fact that most of these cults now use the new versions of the Bible.
Well,
I find that fascinating.
The new version of the Bible fit right into their scheme. I did a study last night on self-esteem and searched scriptures and shared them with our congregation to show that the new Bible, and I was using especially the NIV, and I used the Living Bible a little bit to show them. And here we are, we see that these new versions fit right into their pattern, right into their very scheme. I mean, it's incredible. I know know the NIV, boy, they're raising Cain about this. I just got a letter mailed to me I received today where the NIV wrote a lady down in Angiers, North Carolina, and told her, I mean, they're threatening lawsuits and everything, but we don't have anything to be afraid of because all we're doing is quoting them. Here's what they said. Here's what they said, you know, and just giving exactly their word for word, and they are in trouble. And, you know, people like Hank Handegraaff and some of the other men who've been writing books and quoting the NIV, these men are having to defend the NIV and rip Ms. Riplinger apart because they've got to defend their books that have been full of quotes from all these spurious versions. And now they're in a pickle. They either got to take their books off the market or defend their Bible that they quoted from. And
that's right.
I mean, they're really in a pickle.
Well, they are indeed. Well, you know, you look at Christian Research Institute. That's the group you're talking about out in California. Hank Handegraaff is the president. And they do support the NIV, but Dr. Chambers... Well, they have to, and I'll tell you, one of the reasons why is because CRI and Mr. Handegraaff and the other folks there in the CRI, you know, they have a radio program that goes out of hundreds of stations called the Bible Answer Man. Unfortunately, they use the NIV. But now, I want you to understand something, Dr. Chambers. In my research, I have found that these people are also promoters of Roman Catholicism.
I'm just running that text.
And that's right, and of the Pope. They believe that the Pope is their Christian brother, and Roman Catholicism is a very wonderful, just another Christian church.
They need to go to some of these little countries where the Catholic Church is dominant and interview some people there who try to love Jesus and try to live a Christian life and find out how those people are suffering, don't they? And
that's
they need to read
right.
the Book of Martyrs and learn of the horrible catastrophes that Roman Catholicism has effected upon the church that dared to believe the Bible was infallible rather than the Pope was infallible. I'm amazed.
And, of course, Mr. Handegraaff, then, what they have to do, since the King James has been used during this great period of the Protestant Reformation, the entire setting up of Christianity in the United States of America and thousands of missionaries throughout the world sent from Great Britain, from the United States, all of this has been with the King James Version, God's Holy Word. And, of course, if you're going to try to destroy Protestantism and exalt the Vatican of Rome...
And ecumenicalism.
That's right, ecumenicalism.
Together.
Then you must destroy the King James Bible as well, because that's God's Word. That's the Protestant Reformation movement, and you've got to do away with the King James. And that's why CRI and Mr. Handegraaff, they've got to get rid of the King James, and they're desperate to do it. And I'll tell you the truth, your name, I'm sure, will be bandied about. Listen, believe me, once World of Prophecy is heard, you can bet, I know you're not a betting man, but if you were, you could make a lot of money by betting that Dr. Joseph Chambers' name will be mentioned on CRI Bible Answer Man program. You know, one of the things some of these programs are doing, you mentioned Gail Riplinger, her book New Age Bible Versions. It is so effective. And what you've been doing, and now we're offering to people here in our ministry, your incredible interviews, especially the second half of this program, we're going to talk about your interviews with Dr. Virginia Mollenkott, one of the translators.
Now, she was a translator. She was a consultant and a stylist.
Right, but she was one that gave them advice on what words and
exactly.
terms to use.
And she tells how she got different big swatches of the Bible, big chapters at the time, and she would go through them and she would suggest better words, you know, and she was very much involved, and she tells it on the interview how she was involved.
So we're going to be offering those tape albums to the folks, and I just want you to know that it's going to make such a tremendous impact. When people order this album, and I think it's like 3 hours, isn't it, of different interviews, and also you're discussing this subject in even greater depth, plus 5 booklets.
Yes.
5 different sermon booklets, so they'll have some things in writing.
Yes, 5 booklets and a beautiful album.
And a beautiful album. And we're asking for a love gift of $20 through our ministry. Folks can write to us, Dr. Chambers. They can phone us on our toll-free number. And we're going to get more into that in the second half of this program, and I'm going to ask you specifically why it is that a number of learned men like yourself are beginning to understand that the NIV is a Bible that will be an apologist Bible for the homosexual, in other words, the gay rights movement. This is going to become their chief Bible if it has not done so already. That's one of the things I want us to discuss.
Tell you something that happened. You got a minute?
Sure. We've got it.
But in the last edition that I saw of Dr. James Dobson's paper, he did an interview with a woman who had been a lesbian and whom God had delivered. And she said that when they went to churches back before she, you know, got delivered, that they purposely used the new versions of the Bible that were softer on homosexuality. She said that, and he printed it in his magazine.
Wow. Well, now, did he comment? Because this is unusual for Dr. Dobson.
I know. I blew my mind. I read it on the air. But he actually said, gave this woman, she just gave her testimony. And she said, we used the new versions that were softer on homosexuality when we went to the lesbian and homosexual churches.
You know, Dr. Dobson, just to divert here just a moment, it's a very interesting thing. He was involved in various, really sort of soft things. You know, the touchy-feely stuff, pushing psychology, 12-step programs. But I really believe that just recently God has awakened a spirit of courage and boldness more than ever in Dr. James Dobson. I'm feeling
that. Yes, he has. And I think he's getting away from that psychology, which is nothing but garbage to start with. I mean, Christian psychology is worse than secular psychology, because all Christian psychology is secular psychology with a prayer plate over it.
That's right.
You know, and it's even more dangerous. I want to read you something before we get away from this. In this book, the NIV, The Making of a Contemporary Translation, here's what Edwin H. Palmer said. He was the executive secretary of the committee. He says the KJV, that's KJV, the King James Version, is not, however, the best translation to use today. This is so for two reasons. It adds to the Word of God. Now, he actually accused the King James Version of adding to the Word of God. And it has now obscure and misleading renderings of God's Word. And he really is rough on people who continue. He says in one place, yet some of these same evangelicals calmly go on reading the King James Version, which in many places has added to and so changed God's very word. Such a practice is unfortunate, end of quote. Now, when they accuse us of attacking the NIV, we need to say, wait a minute, you attacked the King James Version. Don't we have a right to do the same thing you did? Now, that's in their book now. The NIV, The Making of a Contemporary Translation. So they hate the King James Version of the Bible.
Well, they do. You know, Dr. Robert Morey, a man up in New England, who, by the way, is not believe that the King James is the only or even the best version. So I want to say that.
7-year tribulation period either.
No,
I heard him say that on radio recently. That's only one place in the Bible, and you ought not make a doctrine out of something that was only in the Bible one place. And of course, that's totally untrue. He must not know much about the Bible.
Well, Dr. Morey, as you correctly stated, he does not believe in Bible prophecy, certainly like you and I know it to be true. But one of the things that Dr. Morey told me, he called me up recently, we had a nice discussion, and he realizes what I believe about the King James very strongly, and he believes the King James is a quote-unquote good version, but not necessarily the only version, and he and I disagree. But one of the things, Dr. Chambers, that I wanted to mention to you and to the folks out there, I thought was very interesting. Dr. Morey tells me, and he is a scholar, he tells me that this Dr. Palmer, who was the chairman, the person who put together the NIV, he's now passed away. But Dr. Morey says that he was sent one of the early NIVs before it was published by Dr. Palmer and asked for his comments and suggestions and advice on the NIV, all right? Well, Dr. Morey says one of the things, he says he does not himself trust the NIV. Now, this is very interesting. Here's a man who, he's not a King James-only man, but he says the NIV is riddled with errors too. Now, one of the things that Dr. Morey told me I thought was fascinating, you know in the Bible where it talks about the demon-possessed man in the tombs?
Yes. demoniac.
All right. The demoniac. And he, when Jesus came near, the demon spirits cried out?
Yes.
All right. Well, the NIV tried to pull a little whammy on folks. Well, I'll tell you what, Judge, we're running out of time here for this part of the program. When we come back, I want to tell you that story about how they tried to change the man who was possessed by demons into a man who simply had epilepsy. In the NIV, and Dr. Morey caught it, and then I'm going to be asking you all about the homosexual portions of the NIV. Folks,
Total removal of the word sodomy.
Wow. Total removal of the word sodomy from the Bible, God's Word. Folks, you won't believe it. You stay right with us. Friends, we've been talking to Dr. Joseph Chambers from Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been talking about the King James Version and the truth in it as compared to the New International Version of the Bible and other versions. And I want to offer to you, my friends, this album. It's really a mind-boggling series of interviews with Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf. She is a lesbian, as you will find out very shortly in this program. And she was one of the people who helped compose and to choose the words for the NIV Bible. Now, you're going to hear in this tape album, Miss Mollenkopf openly admit her lesbianism and her distorted views of the Bible's clear warnings about homosexuality. I believe her lesbianism influenced Miss Mollenkopf's contribution to the NIV Bible, and this album, this interview that Dr. Chambers did with Dr. Mollenkopf, I believe will convince you of that. Now, here's what you get when you order this album. First of all, you get these audio cassettes by Dr. Chambers, his interview with Virginia Mollenkopf, openly now a lesbian and a member of the NIV committee. You get some excerpts from several broadcasts that Dr. Chambers has made about the new versions, the new world religion that's going to be using these new Bible versions. You'll get five sermon booklets, including the New World Religion, One World Religion Update, The Mother Goddess, Whatever Happened to Hell, the NIV and Sodomy. All of these five sermon booklets and three audio tapes you'll get from Dr. Chambers, all put in this very attractive album for your love gift of $20 to this ministry. Three audio tapes, five booklets, and an attractive package for your love gift of $20 or more to the ministry. And that will allow us to keep these messages going around the world. Friends, now, if you want this album, just write, ask for the NIV Bible and Homosexuality. The NIV Bible and Homosexuality. Write to Living Truth Ministries or World of Prophecy. World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. United States of America, USA. Or you can phone us toll-free here in the colony of the United States, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. And if you're not receiving our newsletter, Flashpoint, we'll send it to you every month. We'll give you a free subscription to Flashpoint, as well as the tape album and the sermon booklets entitled The NIV Bible and Homosexuality. We'll send all of this to you and give you a free subscription to Flashpoint for your love gift of $20 or more. So write to us, World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, or phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You need to know the truth about the Bibles, God's Word, and especially the polluted NIV and its subtle promotion of sodomy and homosexuality. And now let's return to my good friend, Dr. Joseph Chambers, as we continue our very enlightening discussion of the NIV Bible and sodomy. Dr. Chambers, welcome back to World of Prophecy.
Delighted. Wonderful to be with you, Tex.
You know, we're talking about not only the NIV Bible and homosexuality, but also I mentioned to folks your just tremendous newspaper, End Times and Victorious Living. Dr. Chambers, I know many people will want to become a subscriber, as I am, to your newspaper. Could you tell people a little bit about it and how they can obtain a subscription?
Actually, Brother Tex, we're doing it because we're doing a large edition. We're doing it every 2 months, six editions a year. It's equivalent to 32 pages of 8.5 by 11, so it's a large paper. It is filled with prophecy, with great articles by leading and dependable godly men. Of course, you appear in it quite often, and we believe it's one of the most up and coming prophecy publications that there is in the world. We are now in 20 some countries, and of course, we'll send a free complimentary copy to anybody who will call our toll-free number. They could call toll-free, no charge to them, 1-800-33-TRUTH. Excuse me, 1-800-33-TRUTH. That's 3387884. So they could get a copy of this without charge, and then they can review and decide if they want to subscribe.
Well, go over that 1-800 number again, because a lot of folks are like me. I'm a little bit slow with my pen.
I understand. 1-800-33-TRUTH. And let me give that again. 1-800-33-8784. 87884. Easy to remember. 33-TRUTH.
33-TRUTH. 1-800-33-TRUTH. T-R-U-T-H.
That's exactly right.
Well, now that's pretty easy to remember. So, folks, you just phone that toll-free number here in the United States. Now, Joseph, a lot of people like to write. Now, what is the address they can write and ask for a complimentary copy, an absolutely free copy of this fantastic newspaper?
Okay, Paul Creek Ministries. That's P-A-W, like a kept Paul. Paul Creek Ministries. And the post office box is 668965. 668965. And the zip is 28266. That's, of course, Charlotte, North Carolina. The box again is 668965, and the zip is 28266, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, friends, you've heard it. Paul Creek Ministries, box 668965, Charlotte, North Carolina. Just put down NC, and that's 28266, 28266, and ask for End Times and Victorious Living. And I'll tell you, you will be living victoriously, joyfully, and blessed by God through this publication. Well, Brother Chambers, in the time we've got left, I'd like for you to tell us about your meeting, your interview, let's just call it, with Dr. Virginia Mollenkopf, and why you came away from what you've told me, from your own research on the NIV, and also your interview with Virginia Mollenkopf, why you believe that really, the NIV is a polluted version of the Bible.
Well, of course, Tex, there are so many reasons to believe the NIV is polluted, because some of the great scriptures, we were going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, what they did to that in Matthew and Luke, and time probably we're going to have to do another program, I guess, to do that. But the business of Virginia Mollenkopf, when I heard that a lesbian, an avowed lesbian who claims, by the way, to be an evangelical. That's amazing to me. She's certainly not an evangelical. But Virginia Mollenkopf was one of the stylists and one of the consultants. I said, well, I'm going to get a hold of her, and I did. I found her up in New Jersey, where she teaches at the William Patterson College. And I asked her, was she involved in NIV? Oh, yes, she was involved. Would you do an interview with me, and let's talk about your involvement? And she agreed. So 45 minutes we spent, and I treated her kind. I didn't try to argue with her or tell her my views. I just got her views. And so we talked, and she admitted, indeed, that she had been involved, and told how they sent her chapters of the Bible, of their translation, of course, and she would go through it, and she would be concerned, and that the critics and the consultants much involved and very influential. And, of course, we talked about homosexuality. She admitted she was a lesbian, and she also claims to be an evangelical. And when she finally said that the original text of the Bible, and maybe it does in the Westcott Horde, I've never studied their Greek, but the original text does not condemn homosexuality or lesbianism, that it's an acceptable lifestyle. She even says that the Catholic Church used to have a liturgy for the marriage of homosexual priests or homosexual people. I believe she said people, not priests. And she told about all of this. One of the oldest things in the Catholic Church, she said, one of the oldest liturgies was that of the marriage of two homosexuals. And she just defended that original Greek does not defend it. And she says the NIV is much truer to the original Greek in the fact that it does accept, you know, the fact that homosexuality, in her opinion, or sodomy, is not a sin.
So the NIV then would give her, because of its wording, to eliminate, as you mentioned earlier, the very words of sodomy from the King James.
They call sodomy a temple prostitute.
Temple prostitute.
So every time the word sodomy appears in the Old Testament, and it doesn't appear in the New, but every time it appeared in the Old, it was called sodomy. They called it in the NIV a temple prostitute. So you're not even dealing with the sin of sodomy. You're dealing with someone who's being a prostitute who is operated in the temple. So they completely changed the meaning, and the Greek doesn't allow for that. They were just given their own theological opinion.
Wow. So in other words, we know God's direct admonitions against sodomy, and yet by changing it to the word temple prostitute, in other words, you can be a sodomizer, you can be a lesbian, a homosexual, as long as you don't do it in the temple. I suppose you're not a temple prostitute.
That's what she said. She says the sin of sodomy or homosexuality, the sin of lesbianism or homosexuality, she says the only time it's a sin is when you offend with it, when you are a prostitute with it, or when you rape somebody, or when you're politic and you live with a lot of different men instead of just one man or man to man. And let me give you another terrible thing in the NIV. When I move to the New Testament, it really gets worse. Let me read you 1 Corinthians 6:9. Now, in the King James, it says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." And the word effeminate means men lovers of men. Very clear. Men lovers of men. Abusers of themselves with mankind carries the same thing. And here's what they say in the NIV. Let me read the whole verse. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders." And notice that, male prostitutes. These are men who are prostitutes, male prostitutes. Doesn't say in this case, in their interpretation, whether that's homosexuality or a heterosexual lifestyle. But then the word homosexual offenders, and she says that that can mean either a homosexual that offends.
So as long as you don't offend somebody, as long as you don't rape them.
It could mean those who offend against homosexuals. It could mean those of us who they call homophobics.
Oh, my. Hold on.
Either us.
Oh.
A homophobic.
Oh, in other words,
homosexual who rapes somebody.
Oh, my. In other words, if you say something wrong, that homosexuality is a sin or that it's wrong or unnatural,
then I could be a homosexual offender.
You could not. In other words, they're saying you will not inherit the kingdom of God because you've said something bad about homosexuality. You've offended a homosexual by saying that his or her lifestyle is not up to God's standards, and therefore you are a homosexual offender and will never enter the kingdom of God. So the devil has literally turned this entire scripture around so that a true Christian,
absolutely,
who says anything is wrong with homosexuality becomes a devilish person headed straight for hell. Oh, my. Oh, I'll tell you, Dr. Chambers, the devil is evil and all his ways and his people as well.
The new world religion is going to do during the tribulation period with this. And you know, see, I believe the Antichrist will be a homosexual. I believe Daniel 11 makes it clear that the Antichrist will be a homosexual. He will be a man, effeminate, who lives with other men. Of course, you know, the old Roman emperors were much into homosexuality. It became dominant before the Roman Empire fell.
Pedophile.
I believe that will be the Waterloo of the Antichrist. It will be one of the diabolical forces of the Antichrist in tribulation period. And I believe they will use this Bible in the tribulation to actually condemn a person who calls a homosexual a sinner.
You know, Dr. Chambers, I was reading recently some homosexual publications in which they were trying to defend their unnatural lifestyle. And according to these supposed, and by the way, they claim to be Bible scholars, believe it or not. These homosexuals stated that the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, they've interpreted, and here's what they said, and it's going right along with your interview of Dr. Mollenkopf. They said that actually there was nothing wrong with the homosexuals wanting to have sex with the angels who appeared as fair men, you know, handsome men. They said that there was nothing wrong with the homosexuals wanting to have sex or even having sex. The only thing that the homosexuals did wrong was that they were not hospitable.
Would you believe that's exactly, the last part of that is exactly what Virginia Mollenkopf said? She said America would be condemned on the basis of the sodomy story because we're not hospitable to people like we ought to be. She said that's the very thing that story meant.
So Lot was not nice. He wasn't a pleasant man and didn't treat the homosexuals right. In other words, he offended. He's a homosexual offender. Lot was.
That's what he was.
And he's deserving, according to Ms. Mollenkopf and her friends, of eternal damnation. No, not eternal, but they don't believe in eternal damnation either because they've changed the word for hell to something. Well, you see, they've got it all the way that they want it, don't they?
The words in the Bible that talk about us as being sinners. I mean, I read last night scriptures, they've changed, and they've eliminated the idea of man being engrossed in sin. I mean, the whole idea supports self-esteem, that man is basically good, like Robert Shuler, Norman Vincent Peale says. I mean, the whole thing. But let me read you something before our time gets away. The NIV people are really upset. And here's a paper they're sending out in which they say, here are the facts. It is true that in the early stages of translation work on the NIV, in the late 60s now, 1960s, Virginia Mollenkopf was consulted briefly and only in a minor way on matters of English style. Now, I have in my hand a book called The NIV Story, The Inside Story of the New International Version by Burton L. Goddard. And in this, this was not even copyrighted until 1989, and they list all of the people who were involved as consultants, translators, consultants, critics, etc. And her name is in this book now that wasn't published till 1989, and here is a letter in which they said she was only used in the late 1960s. Now, I mean, they are really not telling the truth, is I guess the only way you could call it. I don't know what else you could say. They're not telling the truth about how the Bible was put together. They're trying to deny her involvement, and yet here is the book published and copyrighted in 1989 that lists her name.
Well, you know, even if Ms. Mollenkopf did not exist, which she does, and even if they did not claim her proudly, I suppose, as a contributor then for a quarter of a century before finally deciding that maybe they better not tell people that, and so they tried to rewrite history here since 89. Even then, we still have the NIV Bible. Its removal, as you have proven, of the very word sodomy, it's changing from the word effeminate to homosexual offender, which could be an indictment in a Christian.
The word effeminate to a male prostitute, and they change the unnatural action of men to that of the homosexual offender.
So that even if Ms. Mollenkopf did not even exist, the NIV would still be the queer choice of Bible, meaning the pro-homosexual Bible, and I believe purposely twisted to this effect. You know, I was mentioning to you about Dr. Morey about the epilepsy situation. Dr. Morey says that he got this, and the thing was about ready to go to publication. And they sent the completed NIV, almost completed. Dr. Palmer did, the chairman who put together the NIV, who supervised the whole thing. And he sent it to Dr. Morey for his comments. And Dr. Morey got to that part of the Bible where it talked about Jesus meeting the demoniac in a tomb. And it stated there, now here was ready to go to press, ready to go to the printing presses.
Did they change it?
Well, yes, here's what happened. He saw, Dr. Morey saw, that it had the man, he came upon a man with epilepsy. And Dr. Morey said, told me that he called Dr. Palmer and said, hey, this is unacceptable. The NIV here says rather than is changed and rather than being a demoniac, in fact, you know, the King James tells us he had thousands of demon spirits. They were, their name was Legion.
And all they had him was with epilepsy.
They had him with epilepsy. Here's what Dr. Morey told Palmer. He said, Dr. Palmer, the problem is that the very next verse says that the demon spirit cried out. But the way you've got it, epilepsy would cry out. How could epilepsy cry out to Jesus and make a statement, you know? Epilepsy doesn't cry out and speak. You know, epilepsy is just a disease that is. And Dr. Palmer, you know what he said? He said to Morey, oh, they snuck that one past me.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious. They snuck it past me. They got by me on that one. In other words, why would he even say such a thing? They got this by him? They snuck it by him?
And Morey said those words to you.
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Morey said that Dr. Palmer admitted, well, they snuck that one by me. They got that. In other words, it was as if they were trying to get stuff by Palmer. Now, this is one of the reasons why Dr. Morey, a man who does not even claim to be a King James only version guy, but yet I give the man credit. He's done much, much scholarly work, and I respect Dr. Morey in many ways. He himself says the NIV is not a Bible that he would recommend because it has so many errors. He says he also is aware that Virginia Mollenkopf is a lesbian, although he comes back and says that he doesn't think that caused her. Just because she's a lesbian doesn't mean that she would have purposely changed anything in the Bible. Now, that doesn't make much sense.
He knows what she purposely did.
But, I agree with Dr. Morey up until he got to that point, and I think it's, listen, just an understanding of human nature. We know people like to say that what you think doesn't matter. You know, President Clinton, yes, he can be pro-abortion, pro-homosexual, all of this. He can be a man with no character. But what has that got to do with him being a good leader?
That has got a lot to do. Let me tell you something. If we can get this interview with Virginia Mollenkopf all over this nation, in thousands of hands, in thousands of preachers' hands, and we can get them to read what the NIV translator said about hell and eternal damnation, we can just about put the New International Outfit out of business, because those folks are going to send a lot of, and you know, they've sold millions of copies.
Oh, it's the number one. Now King James is the number two selling version. The NIV is the number one best-selling Bible version in the entire world.
Well, it's going to be the Bible version of the New Age Church. I guarantee you that, unless God helps us to turn things around.
Of course, there are many other Bible versions. There's even the slang version, the black ghetto version. I mean, this is not the only one, but it appears to be the one that is gaining the most readership. Well, you know, Virginia Mollenkopf, I understand that she has written, here's the woman. Now, again, folks, if you're just tuning in, Dr. Chambers is talking about his interview, and we're offering that, this album, The NIV Bible and Homosexuality by Dr. Chambers. It includes his audio tape of his interview with Dr. Mollenkopf, one of the women who helped work on the NIV translation and helped give advice as to what English words to use and such. You'll have that. You'll have also Dr. Chambers discussing the New World Religion, the new versions of the Bible, five different sermon booklets, the New World Religion, One World Religion Update, the Mother Goddess, Whatever Happened to Hell, the NIV, and Sodomy. There's another booklet. We'll give you five booklets, three audio tapes, for your love gift to World of Prophecy of $20. All you have to do is call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, or write to us, World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, Austin, Texas, the zip code 78733, that's USA. If you're overseas, put the little USA on your envelope. For your gift of $20, we'll send you this attractively packaged album, 3 audio tapes, 5 booklets for your love gift of $20 or more. Virginia Mollenkopf, now I understand she has actually even written a book confessing to her lesbianism. Is that true?
She's written several, but one of the worst is called Sensuous Spirituality. Out from Fundamentalism is a secondary title. And boy, this book will take your breath. I mean, she's equated having sex with being spiritual.
Oh, my goodness.
About homosexual and lesbian sex. And it is diabolical. That's the only word for it.
Well, Joseph, that's what they taught in Greece and Rome and ancient Babylon and in Egypt, that sex was a spiritual experience.
Yes.
Even sex between two males, two females, this was considered a wonder. This linked you. In fact, the Hindus, that's why where they came up with the name yoga for the physical exercise. It's yoga means to be linked, to be yoked. Yoga yoked with the gods, the pagan gods. And Virginia Mollenkopf actually claims that in her sexual perversion with another woman, that this is a God-inspired type of experience?
Oh, yes, it's spiritual. She's on the verge of a goddess. It's all this new religion. The Matthew Fox kind of mysticism. It's unreal. And this woman, Virginia Mollenkopf, was calling for a de-absolutized Bible back in the 70s. In the 70s, before the NIV was published, when they should have known better than to have her involved, she was already calling for a de-absolutized Bible, or a Bible that is void of the absolutes.
Well, Dr. Joseph Chambers, it's been my pleasure to have you as a guest. We've run out of time. We've been talking about the NIV Bible version and homosexuality. Friends, write to us, World of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Thank you, Dr. Chambers, and to all of you out there listening, remember, my friends, each week at this time, tune in and discover a world of prophecy.